Hello, hello everyone. I hope you've been well. Welcome back to Express Possess with Les. We'll be talking about some scary people, scary stuff, stories, possibly. Today, we'll actually be discussing La Llorona, which is a super common case, especially in Mexican-American communities, about a woman who weeps, which is literally the translation, but let's move on. As a Mexican-American child, ever since I was very young, I grew up hearing the infamous tale of La Llorona. I remember it scaring the living daylights out of me whenever my older cousins told me the scarring tale while we were on late trips especially. I guess their goal was accomplished because I never wandered off alone in wooded areas and much less near bodies of water where the supposed money women could take me. Although not commonly known to be so, I didn't know myself. The tale of La Llorona has been around for hundreds of years, dating back to the Aztecs in the 1500s. There has been record that shows a drawing of the weeping woman, it's called, appearing in Tenochtitlan in 1509. According to Bernardino de Sahagún's informants, this has been around for almost over 600 years, actually. Additionally, a drawing from the 1570s appears in the Florentine Codex and could be the first illustration of the La Llorona. Although you cannot see it, I can confirm that she looks as scary as we would expect. Additionally, the earliest written account that I could find comes from a poem by Manuel Carpio, published in 1849, which was almost 200 years ago as well, so a really long time. I'll read it to you in Spanish, and then I'll be translating English for each and every one of you. Pálido de terror, contar oía. Cuando era niño yo, niño inocente, que vio la muerte un hombre en mi pueblo a su esposa Rosalía. Y desde entonces en la noche umbría, oye temblando la asustada gente, tristes gemidos de mujer doliente, quejidos como dada en su agonía, por algún rato en su lamento cesa, mas luego se desata un largo llanto y sola por las calles atraviesa, a todos llena de mortal espanto, y junto al río en la tiniebla espesa, se ve llorando, envuelta con su manto. The literal translation goes, pale with terror, I heard it told when I was a child, an innocent child, that a bad man in my town once did to death his wife, Rosalia. And since then, in the shadowy light, the trembling, frightened people hear that sad whimpering of a suffering woman, whimpering such as she made in her agony, for a certain time she ceases in her lament, but that she breaks out in prolonged weeping, and alone she traverses the streets. She fills everyone with mortal fear. In the darkness, she goes, weeping, wrapped around in her cloak. According to Cohen's seventh thesis, when I was reading this story and analyzing theses, I found that La Llorona fits perfectly with the fifth thesis, which talks about how mantras represent the borders of the possible. They serve as warnings that keep people away from the limits. They are examples of what happens when a social norm is broken and what it means to be acceptable within the community. In La Llorona, we can see how this story can serve as a way to warn people of all ages, from wandering children like I once was, to even married men questioning their fidelity to their spouses. We see the origins of La Llorona may be rooted in several pre-Hispanic religious beliefs in Mexico, particularly in Aztec and Mayan traditions, as we mentioned before, in which women who died whilst giving birth were considered divine. It is possible to find several reports of this tale. One of the most extended versions of the legend situated the origin of La Llorona in the colonial area in Mexico. Between the 16th and 19th centuries, as I mentioned, that was a really long time ago. We probably thought this was only recent, but it actually dates to hundreds of years ago. Approximately when the Americas were under the rule of the Spanish Empire, there was an indigenous woman so beautiful that men were easily enchanted by her splendor. This characteristic, however, is not banal, but essential quality of this liminal monster. Her beauty was a weapon that she used to chase, attract, and kill her quote-unquote prey by drowning or driving them mad on desolate moors, usually near lake or rivers. Afterward, realizing the horror of her actions, she committed suicide. Some years later, people began hearing the screams of a woman repeating, "Ay, mis hijos," "Oh, my children," a ghostly voice searching for her offspring along the banks of the river. Additionally, we see in history, I was able to find out, that there's actually other versions, other connections to previous versions of La Llorona. Although not specifically tied to this infamous Llorona, it's not titled La Llorona, there's also a notorious willing spirit, much like this one, that comes up before this in history, thought to be the original Llorona. In book 7 or 8 of the Codex, there's a passage that scholars generally take to refer to the same events. In the days of the time of Moctezuma, it happened that the demon Chuatil walked about weeping at night in the streets of Mexico. Everyone heard it saying, "My children, woe is me that I must soon leave you." Although in this passage he calls her a demon, as we saw in book 1, she is one of the most important goddesses of the Aztecs. She is associated with small children and a crib or cradle, which is one of her distinguishing marks. A man named Sahagún's description in book 1 says, "And they also say that she carries a crib with her, as someone who would carry a child in it. And she goes to the market along the other women, and disappearing, she would leave behind the crib. When the other women discovered that the crib had been forgotten there, they would look to see what was inside, and there would be a flint, like iron, of the rough kind with which they killed those they sacrificed. By this, they understood that it was Chuatil who had left it there." One more striking parallel between Chuatil and La Llorona is that both are associated with infanticide. If you don't know, infanticide is the act of murdering an infant. It can be a parent, it can be a dad or mom who murders their infant, a young baby. In book 8 of the Florentine Codex, as we saw before, in the entry for Don Martin, governor of Atelulco, Sahagún's informants reported, "In his time, it came to pass the demon that in the form of a woman walked and appeared day and by night, and it was called Chuatil, ate a small boy who was in his cradle in the town of," bear with me, it's a complicated word, "Azcapotzalco." These similarities between the Llorona and Chuatil have led many scholars to believe that the traditional image of La Llorona derives from the Aztec belief. Thomas Janvier, in about 1910, held this belief. This legend is not, as all of the other legends are, of Spanish-Mexican origin. It is wholly Mexican. It directs survival from primitive times. As we stated before, La Llorona is a stray from Aztec mythology, an ancient, powerful goddess living on her power for evil lessened, but still potent into modern times. As we see, even children nowadays hear this story. Even if it's been hundreds of years later, it's still prominent in Mexican culture especially. Additionally, Américo Paredes expanded on this observation in 1971, adding other figures of indigenous myth and folklore that have been contributed facets to the many descriptions of La Llorona. He says, "The literary legend of La Llorona struck deep roots in Mexican tradition because it was grafted on an Indian legend cycle about the supernatural woman who seduces men when they are out alone on the roads or working in the fields. But after having drowned her children in the lake, the legend says that now in her ghost form, she will remain searching forever until she finds their bodies. Witnesses affirm that when you hear or yell at a distance, she is near you. But when the scream is strong, it indicates that she is far from you." If this serves as any consolation to you, I hope it does. I used to be absolutely terrified of this supposed woman. Well, as we saw, to finalize, there's 2 or 3 different versions or adaptations of this story. We have seen it from the Aztec point of view, the Mayan point of view, the more modern point of view, even the Spaniard ruling over Mexico point of view. And I find it really interesting to see how a monster has evolved in such different evolutions, like phases. Because we often see monsters do evolve, but I find it fascinating that especially such an old, we could say monster, La Llorona has remained prevalent in across different centuries and generations. But she still instills fear, and she still serves, as Cohen said, that fifth thesis, that border, patrolling over the borders of the possible. So this story could easily be heard by children and be terrified, as I once was, of not exploring the woods, of not exploring lakes by themselves. Or it could be used for even other married men, as I mentioned before, to not be, you know, unfaithful to their wives because they might do something similar, God forbid, even though that's hopefully not possible. Additionally, I think that it would be important to discuss the definition of filicide. It's something that while researching this topic and this monster came up quite a lot. Philip Resnick published research on filicide in 1969 and stated that there were five main motives for filicide, which is the murder of children, not necessarily of any age, but a parent committing the act of murder over their children. Filicide. So, we have the first reason, which is altruistic, fatal maltreatment, unwanted child, and spousal revenge. We know that for sure, Adonai is a case of spousal revenge. We know that because her husband had committed this horrible betrayal, she decided to commit that horrible act of murder. And I found it quite interesting to see how she can even connect it to almost scientific terms, not only literary. And these two connect along with culture and all of these other important parts of history to create this tale of La Llorona, which is so, I guess, iconic, almost I could say, in my personal culture. So that is all I have for today, my dear people. I hope that you were able to gain some new knowledge perhaps you didn't know before. If you did grow up with it like me, I hope that you're able to gain some, you know, even more better knowledge, because I didn't know that she was such an old legend and came from Aztec and Spaniard ties. So I hope that you had fun listening to this. I appreciate your time and attention. I hope we're able to discuss some more monsters. I'm able to see some more of you guys' projects, or if this is Professor, hello Professor. I appreciate you guys seriously for your time. It was such a fun project to do. And I truly hope that my research or whatever I was able to gain knowledge of was able to be said in a way that helped you gain some more knowledge about this infamous and very, I quite say, important part of Mexican culture. Although the story is quite horrifying, it is really an important part of our culture and just the way that a lot of us grew up with this scare tactic almost. Anyways, as I said, I hope you guys have an amazing day. Whoever listens to this, thank you for your time, your attention. Thank you for being here. Maybe next episode of Express Possessed with Liz, where we talk about some scary people, scary stories, and their backgrounds. And to all, a good day or a good night, depending on where you are. Thank you.